Good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We had a great time last night at the potluck. And for those of you who came, you know that. For those of you who missed it, you missed something great. So next year, plan on it. Also, it's first service and my wife's here. A lot of you think I'm not married. She comes second service. So. What? Okay. It's a big sacrifice for her to get up for first service. So. I appreciate her doing it just this once. Exodus chapter 20, we're spending some time over the last few Sundays in the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And we've come this week to the fourth commandment. If you were here when we gave you the little memory devices for remembering the commandments, four was door, and we pictured a door with a bunch of deadbolts on it. We're locking ourselves in for the Sabbath. So the fourth commandment, we find it here in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." This commandment, the commandment of the Sabbath, is one that I think is probably, certainly the most misunderstood of all the commandments. And it's probably one of the most overused and underused commandments, depending on who you are. It's important for us to realize that God has something to tell us in this commandment concerning the Sabbath, something important. Violating the Sabbath under the law held the death penalty. It was something that God took very seriously. Now, one of the errors that people fall into regarding the Sabbath is to just dismiss the idea completely. To just say, that was for Israel, and we're not Israel. The commandment's not repeated really in the New Testament, although it's alluded to. And so, hey, let's just forget the whole thing. I think that's a mistake. Now, certainly there are Sabbath elements that are a part of the Mosaic law. Certain elements that are under the law of Moses that are ritualistic and things like that. That absolutely those have been fulfilled and we're certainly not as Christians in this day and age, we're not obligated to keep all of the ceremonial, all the Levitical law. However, I don't think that we can so easily dismiss the Sabbath. For one thing, it way predates the law. Remember, every time the Sabbath is mentioned practically, it's referring back to Genesis. And let me just remind you of that passage. I'll read it to you. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day," this was after recording what was recorded on each day, "on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And so we see the Sabbath is something that's connected with creation and with God. And he, as sure as he made the world the other 6 days, he rested on the seventh and said, this is important. This is something for you to consider. God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested, he probably had a few reasons for resting, but one of them was certainly to set an example to us. And so I think we need to be careful. And you remember just a few chapters ago, just a few weeks ago, Exodus chapter 16, when the manna was given from heaven before Sinai, there was already a Sabbath regulation built into the gathering of manna. And those people who saved, you know, who saved manna overnight, normally it would rot. But when you gathered it on the sixth day, you were supposed to gather twice as much, and it was still fresh on the Sabbath day. And in fact, on the Sabbath day, if you just waited and decided to go gather manna on the Sabbath day, you found there wasn't any. God gave manna 6 days in a row, and then he took a day off. He didn't give the manna, so you needed to gather it ahead of time so you would be ready for it. Again, this was Israel, but this was predating the law for the most part. So I don't think that we should just be able to instantly throw the Sabbath out. It's also the Ten Commandments. These are the basics of what God wants people to understand. The Ten Commandments, again, are not the Mosaic law per se. They're not ceremonial. They are not legislative sorts of things. They are incorporated in all of those, but these are the basics of what God says. This is what's right and this is what's wrong. This is what I want to be a part of you. This is what has been promised to us, that he will put his law on our hearts, that this is something that he wants to be a part of us forever. So it's a mistake to just throw the Sabbath out. Now, there's an equal mistake. And that is to take the Sabbath and apply it in a real strict sort of regimented way, as if the whole law of Moses applies to us. Specific things that you can and can't do on the Sabbath. That's a mistake. Jesus, it says, is our Sabbath. And when Jesus came, and let's just turn over here. This is an important passage concerning the Sabbath. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. Because in Jesus' day, the Jews were really into keeping the Sabbath. It was a big deal to them. And so Jesus was always running into problems concerning Sabbath regulations. Not that he didn't keep the Sabbath, but the way in which he kept the Sabbath. And we see in Mark 2, beginning with verse 23, "Now it happened that he," Jesus, "went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to them, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" See, the Pharisees and the Jews to this day kind of do it, although they've created a lot of loopholes with the Sabbath as well. But they took the idea of keeping the Sabbath holy and not working on it and had some ridiculous laws. For instance, if you had false teeth, you weren't allowed to wear them on the Sabbath. Because if you wore false teeth on the Sabbath, then you'd be bearing a burden, you'd be carrying something. And so they had all these crazy kinds of rules that they thought were applying the Sabbath. Today, even in Israel, if you go over there, there are certain people who on the Sabbath have certain regulations. But they have loopholes as well. You can't go buy or sell on the Sabbath day if you're a devout Jew. Unless you use a credit card, see? Because if you use a credit card, you're not actually paying for it then. The day you pay your credit card bill is when you actually did the buying. And so they've made convenient sorts of ways around the Sabbath. You can't walk upstairs, but you also can't push the button on the elevator. And so if you go to Israel today, and it's the Sabbath, they have it rigged so that the elevator stops at every floor. That way you don't have to do the work of pressing the button. Now, here, these Jews, they had all sorts of these kinds of rules. And so, as Jesus' disciples were just grabbing some little chunks of grain and munching on them as they were walking through the fields, they called them on it and said, "Oh, you're violating the Sabbath." And Jesus said to them, verse 25, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him?" This is referring back to a time when David and his men were on the run. They were very hungry. They came to the priest and said, "We're starved. We need something to eat." And he said to them, "All I have is the sacred, the showbread." And David said, "It's okay, give it to us, we'll eat it." And they ate it. And there was nothing wrong with that. They would have starved if they didn't get something to eat. You know, we have our communion bread. But if somebody was starving and they went to get it, we wouldn't say, "Oh, that's sacred bread, you can't have." No, of course. If you're hungry, it wouldn't hurt you to eat it. If you were thirsty after communion, you're putting the stuff away, there's some grape juice left, you chug a lug it. It's not That's not a big deal. It's not something that, oh, you know, but he, what he, Jesus is saying, look, David used common sense with Abiathar, the high priest, and he said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. See, the point that Jesus was making here in Mark is that the purpose of the Sabbath has something to do with benefiting people. It's for people's good. It's not something for God. It's not that we make Him feel good by keeping the Sabbath. But it's something that's healthy. It's something that's beneficial for us. And this is true of the law. It's made for man's good. Man isn't made to follow the rules. Rules are made because they'll benefit man. And so any application of the Sabbath law that would disregard that which is good for people, that would throw common sense out the window and just begin to blindly follow the rules, well, that would be a mistake. That would be taking things completely out of the context or the intention of the Sabbath law. The Sabbath was made for man. Now, there are people today, as you discuss the Sabbath, you'll run into people, Seventh-day Adventists and others, who their big controversy is, which day is the Sabbath? And they believe that the Sabbath should be on Saturday. And in fact, that's where it was here in the Old Testament and in the New Testament for that matter. Sabbath simply means seventh. So it's just the seventh day. And so there are people who said, well, the Sabbath during the church got changed to Sunday. It got changed to the first day. And a lot of people think that the Sabbath transferred from Saturday to Sunday during the book of Acts. It's one of the questions that I can count on every time I'm on to Every Man an Answer. Someone calls in and says, when was the Sabbath changed to Sunday? And what they want to do is argue that the Sabbath should be on Saturday. Well, that misses the whole point of the Sabbath, period. Now, the fact is, well, first of all, let me back up. If you read through the Levitical law and all of the restrictions concerning the Sabbath was not the day of worship. And that's where people, first of all, get off. We start to think that, okay, we go to church on Sunday, so this is our Sabbath. But, you know, they go to church on Saturday, so that's their Sabbath. Originally, the intent of the Sabbath, if you read what he says about it, all it was he said, don't do anything. Don't work and don't let your employees work. Don't let your animals work. Take a day off, period. It was not, nor was it ever intended to be a special day of worship. And I'll explain in a moment how we kind of got there and why that's so hard for us. But understand this, in the law, even in all the specifics of the law, the Sabbath was not about worshiping. It wasn't about when you go to church. And so those people who would today argue from a Seventh-day Adventist standpoint, from a standpoint of Saturday should be the Sabbath, that's when you should hold church, they've missed the point of the Sabbath. See, if this is our Sabbath, today is our Sabbath, how am I supposed to get a Sabbath? I have to work today. How's Rick and the other people who are involved in ministry? How our ushers, our children? We wouldn't get a Sabbath. It's not fair. But that wasn't the point of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was just simply a day off. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we find that the traditions, all these traditions had developed. And now, in fact, on the Sabbath, they did go to church. They opened the synagogue, and it was kind of like an open mic night at a comedy club or something. And anyone could just come and get up and preach. And so Jesus took advantage of that, as did the disciples. And they would go to synagogue on the Sabbath because there was a group of people gathered there. But remember, that wasn't originally what was commanded. Primarily, the worship of the children of Israel happened on every day. It happened other times. It was not a day to congregate. The Sabbath wasn't. In the New Testament, it kind of developed to that. Now, as we read in the book of Acts, we find out that the church ended up meeting on Sunday. Ended up meeting the first day of the week. There are several references to that. So when we hold our meetings, holding them on Sunday, great. There's a biblical precedent for it. Would it matter if we had church on Saturday? No, of course not. Wouldn't matter at all. When we get together for worship, though, isn't the issue when it comes to the Sabbath. That's not even the question. That's not what it's all about. Now, another scripture that you need to know in to put all of this into context, turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. And anytime someone tries to lay a Sabbath trip on you, turn to this verse. Paul says, Colossians chapter 2, as he's explaining that legalism doesn't cut it, that physical obedience to rules isn't something that saves anyone. And then in verse 16, he says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. He's saying, don't let anybody judge you about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, celebrating new moons or Sabbaths. And the Sabbaths were connected. Some of the special Sabbaths were connected with new moons. And that's why it says that. It wasn't astrology or anything. But he said, those are only pictures. Jesus is the substance. He's really what it's all about. So don't let people apply the law to you and come up with a legalistic adherence to the Sabbath. That's not right. That's not what God wants us to do. So don't let anybody put that kind of trip on you, including me, as I talk to you about the Sabbath, okay? Now, having said all that, having looked at that, what's the Sabbath about? Why is it such a big deal? And why is it found in the first table of the law? What does it really have to do with God? It's the Sabbath of God. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It's something that He says to keep holy. It's something that He mandates. Why? It seems like it would be something for us. And yet it's always presented as the Sabbath is between you and God. Well, let's think about it a little. And what does doing nothing do to us? How does that affect us? What if we were in a society where one day everything shut down? You couldn't work. There was nothing that you could do. You wouldn't even be tempted to go to work because it would be locked up. You wouldn't even be allowed to be there. Well, Ann and I, when we were on our 20th anniversary, we went to Tahiti. And it was amazing in Tahiti. Almost everyone there in Tahiti is a Christian. They all go to church. And on Sunday, they observe it like it's the Sabbath. Every other day, you see people are just doing things, going places, doing things. But on the Sabbath, their Sabbath, they call it Sunday, everything closes down. We were walking through the city of Papeete, the capital of Tahiti, and everything's closed. All the windows are boarded up. There wasn't a liquor store or anything else that was open. The only thing that was open was church, and they have these long church services where they sing and worship God for hours. And it's the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. But it was refreshing. It was like, wow, this is so cool. Everything shuts down. Well, in their society, the Jewish people in the Old Testament, that's what happened on the Sabbath. Everything was shut down. Now, in our society, is that practical? Probably not. It's probably not going to happen. Because you may have a job and they're just going to say, I need you to work on Saturday. Or you may own a business where that's your biggest day. And it isn't necessarily practical. And I don't think that God would just bind us to saying, this is the day where you have to do it. But the principle is this. You work 6 days and you take one day off. And taking a day off doesn't mean fixing everything around your house. It doesn't mean working to prepare food for everyone who's going to come over. It's you don't work. Now, why is that such a hard concept for us? Because we are workaholics. We work like crazy. It's interesting, if you read studies and papers that were presented 50 years ago in scientific journals, and they were projecting, they were talking about how life was going to change because of modern conveniences, because of all the new inventions and the technology that was developing, how it was going to change people's lives. And they predicted with authority that, for one thing, women who were working around the house would limit their household chores to like 3 hours a week. Well, because it would be so easy with automatic washers and dryers. You don't even have to hang the laundry. With the new technology, you could cook food really fast. It could be prepackaged. The glory of TV dinners. And they really thought a housewife's job would just get really easy. But has it happened that way? Does it work that way? Of course not. And then they were saying that the average man's work week would come to about 25 hours a week. Because with all of the technology, you could get things done so much faster, it would create this whole leisure class where the huge growth industries would be tourism, would be amusement parks, would be the national forests and parks, and it would be everyone would just be camping and having a great time because, hey, the machines are going to do the work for us. But it hasn't worked out that way. And the work week is increasing, both for women who stay at home, for men who go off to work. And now we have this thing where many, many women are going off and working a full-time job, plus trying to maintain their households. Well, what happened? Is it necessary? Well, it depends. It might be necessary if you want to have all the things that you want to have. But what does it do if we just shut everything down and stop? Well, it has the same sort of an effect that it has if you listen to what God says when he says, be still, cease striving, shut up, and know that I am God. Stop and pay attention. Oh, not to take a day off just to devote completely to him. That's not even the thing. He knows us. And if we did that, we would pretty soon turn it into work, just like they did in the New Testament, just like the Pharisees did. We would turn that into something that you have to do. And so knowing us the way he does, he says, you need to set aside a day to do nothing. To do nothing that even resembles work. And I don't know very many people who do that consistently 1 out of 7 days. And I certainly am not a person who will faithfully adhere to that 1 out of every 7 days. So why? Why is it so hard to do that? Well, it was hard for them to do that too. If you read in Leviticus and some of the detailed instructions about the Sabbath, one of the phrases that came up again and again, it said, you are not to do any work. It said, afflict your souls. It's going to kill you. It's going to make you, it's everything within you, your mind, your will, and your emotion. They're going to be racing. You're going to be wanting to get to work. But no, even allow your soul to be afflicted. Stop it. Shut down. Take a break. That's what the Sabbath is about. But it's hard for us to do. And why is it hard for us to do? Because who's in charge of things when we take a day off? Who is going to take care of things that we don't take care of on those days? What would be our alternative if we were to set aside a day and to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with anything that resembles work. I am going to just shut everything down for a day. Well, what would we have to do if that were to happen? We'd have to trust God. We'd have to let him take care of all those things. And here's why that is so important to God and so important to us. We need to realize that we are not God, that we are not in control, and that all of that energy that we're burning up trying to control things, trying to be in charge, trying to maintain everything, you know what? We're burning up our energy. That's really not what holds the world together. If God could create the whole world in 6 days and then for a day just did nothing, well, wasn't there maintenance? Wasn't there something? No, he could get it spinning and stand back and just go, okay, this doesn't work anymore. Like those guys that spin those plates on sticks and they get one spinning, another one, and finally they can just actually stand there for a little bit. Now the plates start wobbling, but God could create the world and then let go of it for a day. And the lesson for us is this. Our days, it seems like those plates that are spinning. It seems like every day there's just something that has to be done. But what happens if we just back up and if we just shut down and we say, okay, I am going to take a break and whatever happens, it doesn't matter. It's God's problem. I will let him run things for a day and I won't do anything about it. There will be no emergencies for me. God's going to be in charge of that day. Now, is it a day when we go and worship him a whole lot? Not necessarily. It's a day when we just sit down and let go. And what does that teach us? It reminds us of the fact that, you know what? He was in charge all along. It's amazing. I just took a day off and everything's still okay when it was over. Everything's still running. The universe is still spinning. Nothing catastrophic happened because I dropped a ball somewhere. And we need to learn that, you guys, desperately. When Jesus, as he was explaining himself, describing himself, he said this. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls." Paul, or the author of Hebrews, I think it was Paul, talked about rest. And he said they didn't get it. They kept the Sabbath. They tried to follow the rules. But the people in the Old Testament never really entered into rest. But he said there remains now a rest for the people of God. God wants us to learn to rest. And it'll kill us to try to do it. It's so hard. It's so difficult. One of the hardest things to do is to really take a day off completely. Like I say, not just don't work, but don't work around the house. Don't just enjoy your family or friends. Just relax. Just spend some time with the Lord. Take a walk. Take a drive. Do something that's completely outside the realm of everything that feels like work to you. And I know what you're thinking. When you have kids, how do you have a Sabbath? Well, sometimes that's what babysitters or grandparents are for, or something like that. We need those times when we just download everything that's a stress. Of course, you can also take your kids and go play with them, and that's not going to kill you. And it's like, okay, well, how much? Sometimes it's such hard work to go play catch with my kids. Well, throw underhand or something. Just don't completely knock yourself out. But understand that this is an important principle that not only God desires for us spiritually, we can't be who God wants us to be unless we experience this. But secondly, physiologically, our bodies are designed to shut down for a while, to take a break. And you know what happens when you don't take a break? Well, many of you know it. Some of you have experienced it this week. You get so sick you can't work. And so then you're lying there and you hate it. Your soul is afflicted. Your body's afflicted too. And then if you come to your senses, you'll realize God's just enforcing the Sabbath. He has ways of giving you time off if you don't take time off. And he will do it because your body needs it to survive. Now, I knew this week, I've been studying this passage for several weeks, and I knew, okay, this isn't something that I do very well. This isn't something I do very often. I will plan to take a day off, and I'll say, okay, I'm just going to take off Mondays. That's it. The church office shuts down on Fridays, so I could take off that day, but that's such a great day for me to get work done and to study because no one's here and the phones aren't ringing or anything. So I go, I'll take off Monday. But so often things develop on the weekends, and Monday, oh man, there's stuff I need to take care of on Monday. And then what about Tuesday? Well, there's other things. Wednesday's out of the question. I have to teach Wednesday night. And it's easy for me to go through a week and never really get a full break. So this last week, I just decided, okay, I can't get up and teach on the Sabbath unless I take a Sabbath. So I just decided I'm going to take off Thursday and I'm not going to do anything important. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to relax and I'm going to have a Sabbath on Thursday. So I left my cell phone off, never turned it on, just left it on the sink, got up, slept in a little bit, got up, you know, read the paper, spent some time in the Word, just, you know, took Ann and I went for a walk on the beach, and yet it was so hard because you're thinking, I was in the middle of talking to some different people on some real estate issues and legal issues and things like, I'm thinking, I know they're calling today. This was a big, I should just call and just check my messages. Nope, this is the Sabbath. And then the phone's ringing and ringing and ringing, and there are jobs around the house that need to be done. And I, no, this is the Sabbath. This is my Sabbath. I'm going to do this to the Lord. And it was tough. And then later it got into the afternoon and Ann and I went for a motorcycle ride, went up over Ortega Highway and down by Elsinore and everything. You know, it was just so nice ultimately. By the end of the day, it just felt so good to have done that. But for about half the day, it was torture. And then all of a sudden I realized, wow, everything seems like it's okay. It seems, you know, and if there are big fires that are happening, oh, I'll take care of them tomorrow. It'll be okay. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, I'll turn on my cell phone, listen to all my messages, go to work, listen to both of my voicemails, and then I'll worry about it then. But today, I'm not going to worry about it. And there were even times when Ann and I would be walking or when we were riding the motorcycle and we'd start talking about ministry and different situations. And I'd go, let's not even talk about work. Let's just not do this. Well, I'm telling you, that was a great day. It was nice. And I highly recommend it. I'm not going to order it to you, but try it at least once to see if God can show you that He knows what He's talking about when He mentions the Sabbath. That keeping a day, and I love this about God, that He would do something that's so good for us, and He says, this is personal with me. But again, remember what it's all about. It's saying, okay, God, I'm not going to be there on Thursday. I'm not going to be answering my phones. So if there's something that's critical, if there's something that's crucial, if there's something that's important, God, I guess you're just going to have to take care of it. Or you'll have to cause somebody else to take care of it. I'm not going to take care of it because I'm out that day. I'm off. Now, different people can probably structure their Sabbaths in different ways. And it certainly, in some ways, it works out just as well that we each do it on a different day at a different time. And sometimes Sabbath may mean that you need to get out of your house. Sometimes it means you need to stay in your house and not go out. But do everything that day that just means you're not striving for anything. You're relaxing. You're allowing God to run the world. You're just worrying about being alone with God, being with your family, having some fun, doing whatever it is that's as opposite what you do. Now, it might be that for you to work, do woodwork in your garage on one day is like a Sabbath because it's so different what you do all week. You can figure that out. Again, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. But I strongly encourage you to at least try this out and see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. See if when you go back to your regular routine, it doesn't make a difference. It's not incredible. Now, Sunday may be a great Sabbath for you. You know, you come to church, you have the rest of the day, just don't work, don't strive. But it may be that for some reason there's another time that works better for you. And I haven't figured out yet if half a Sabbath and half a Sabbath put together is good. Like take off at lunch and go until lunch the next day. I suppose that works. I suppose that's fine. But again, it's not a legalistic thing. It's a gift from God. And it's a discipline for us to let go and just to see what happens. And you find out, wow, look at this. I've been standing here for 5 minutes. The plates are still spinning. Every time I'm hitting them like this, I'm actually knocking them off kilter. And if I leave them alone, they're spinning by themselves. Sabbath, keep it holy. And again, as he says, remember the Sabbath. It's something that we will forget unless we remind ourselves. You go, well, how can they forget the Sabbath? It was ingrained into them. But he's saying, remember what it's for. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, to keep it set apart. Hey, work 6 days and do all your work during the 6 days. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Don't do any work. Don't let anybody else do any work on your behalf. Set it apart and say, okay, for just one day, I'm going to let God run things. I'm going to let Him supervise. I'm going to let Him be in charge. I'm not going to do anything. There are times when we feel like if we don't show up to do something, it's just not going to happen. Oh, well, who will do everything that I do? And a part of us is just afraid that everything will be fine while we're gone. I remember in Andy of Mayberry where Aunt B went out of town. And Andy and Opie just completely trashed the house. And it was just a complete mess. So the day Aunt B was coming back, they worked really hard and they got, you know, everybody goober and everybody came over and helped. And they cleaned the whole house. And Aunt B came in the front door and she just started to cry because she thought they don't need me. Well, so Andy ran around, stalled her and ran around in the kitchen and just made a big mess in the kitchen. And when Aunt B came in the kitchen, it was a complete mess and she was happy. And she realized that you boys can't get along without me. Well, sometimes that's the way we look at the world. That's the way we look at our lives, our jobs, our home situations. And, you know, to not wash dishes for a day, it stacks up, but you can wash them. It's just as easy to do them the next day. Now, if you do it for a week and let them stack up, sometimes you start running out of plates. But that's what paper plates and styrofoam are for. On the Sabbath, a woman shouldn't be cooking. You know, shouldn't be cleaning. No, We need to force ourselves to say, nope, everything that we have to do in our lives, it's in God's hands today. We are going to take a day off. We're just going to take off and we're going to have fun and we're going to relax and we're going to enjoy the presence of God, but we're not going to feel obligated to go through five chapters or to listen to as much church as we can. No, that can become work. We're just going to don't do anything. And to God, when you don't do anything for a day, that's holy to Him. Because it means you have to let Him do it. It means that you will be reminded that it doesn't depend on you. And I think that we could use more Sabbath keeping nowadays. Well, we're not going to hold it together as a law. I'm not going to force. But realize, recognize this. If you don't keep the Sabbath, God will force you to keep it some other way. He did that with the children of Israel. When they didn't allow the lamb to rest every 7 years like they were supposed to, they ended up going into captivity and the earth sat there and wasn't able to grow anything for the period of time of which they had missed their Sabbaths. And God will do that to us. And I'm not threatening you. I just want you to understand. You can pay Him now or pay Him later. And the cool thing of God saying, this is for me, this is for me. A lot of times we think, okay, what would God want? If God had one wish for Christmas, what would He want? And we would think, oh, that maybe we would sell some stuff and give it to Him. We'd tithe extra. We would do more ministry. But see, God isn't into getting usefulness out of us. He doesn't look at us and see us for our utilitarian purposes. What God says, you want to do something for me? Why don't you start by just doing nothing? Why don't you start by just relaxing, resting, taking time off? Because it has a way of helping us to get a perspective that we can't get otherwise. And you know, when I'm off and finally all the burdens and all the cares and worries have started to fall away, now what do? I mean, I'm riding my motorcycle and it's just been a beautiful day. It's gorgeous. And all of a sudden my thoughts just wander to God. I didn't say, okay, come on, Ann, let's go ride the motorcycle and let's pray the whole time. And let's, you know, think about God the whole time. No, but it's just, we're enjoying each other, having a good time. And next thing I know, I'm just thinking about God. I'm praying to Him. I'm enjoying His presence. And that'll happen naturally. Our job, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Set it apart. Allow ourselves the opportunity, the privilege, the freedom that God says. When we say to Him, okay, God, today, what can I do for you? And He says, nothing. Just rest. Just take a day off. Take a break. Well, I guess I'm not going to get to the second commandment I'm going to do this time. But let's pray. Lord God, You know us way better than we know ourselves. And so when we look at this Sabbath thing, it just seems kind of strange. It seems so unspiritual to say, just take a day off. That doesn't seem holy to us. And yet we recognize that as You set the example, that You showed us that Your world will get by fine without us, that You don't need our help, that You're not trying to get as much work out of us as You can. You just want to be with us. You just want us to do what's good for ourselves. Keep ourselves healthy. Lord, please impress upon our hearts, remind us of the principle behind the Sabbath. Now, we don't want to get into legalism. We don't want to go back and live under the Old Testament law. For like the children of Israel, we can't keep that. If there were rules on the Sabbath, we'd break them every week. But God, help us to remember to just take off. Help us to remember to just walk away, to shut down, to allow our minds and souls and spirits and bodies to have that rest that they need. And we'll do it as unto You. If You're telling us take a day off, then we'll do it out of obedience. And even though it's hard, Lord, we look forward to the benefits that will accrue to us, to our church, as we just become healthier. As we become people who let You run the world, we don't want to be gods. We want to be Your servants. And if it's a day off, we want to take the day off. If we're in the boat and it's being tossed about in the waves and water splashing over and You're sleeping in the back of the boat, We just want to curl up next to you and sleep. If you're not worried, we shouldn't be. So God, help us to do this, to practice this, to obey this commandment regularly and work it into our lives in such a way that it just becomes habitual, that it's second nature to us. Lord, speak to us and convict us. We know that as we're reading things that are good for us, that come from you, that the enemy would creep in and either exaggerate it and cause us to abuse it, or he would convince us that this has nothing to do with us. But we're not fooling anybody. We know as well as you do that we need breaks. So God, help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
Your name is